Penguin Random House Audio presents The Life and the Adventures of a Haunted Convict by Austin Reed. Edited and with an introduction by Caleb Smith. Foreword by David W. Blight and Robert B. Steptoe. Read for you by Dominic Hoffman. Introduction read by Caleb Smith. Foreword by David W. Blight and Robert B. Steptoe. Reading the life and the adventures of a haunted convict today, in our era of mass incarceration and militarized policing, we immediately feel the force of Austin Reed's protest against the horrors of New York's House of Refuge and the Auburn State Prison. However, like the best of memoirs, this fascinating book has no one single task. Composed when the author was in his mid-30s, it attempts to make sense of his life since his early childhood. Reed was not born into slavery, but as we get to know him in his pages, we are well aware that he is a young African-American attempting to find his way in the antebellum United States. Like many of his contemporaries, enslaved, fugitive, and free, the story Reed had to tell was one of harsh oppression and grinding exploitation. It was also the story of the development of his own mind. Carefully authenticated by Caleb Smith and a team of researchers from Yale University and elsewhere, Reed's book can now be placed in the great literary tradition that has rendered black life an experience from the first-person point of view. By 1858, when Reed concluded his account, the tradition already included a rich variety of slave narratives, poems, sermons, speeches, and works of fiction. But there was nothing quite like this sustained treatment of African-American life inside the prison system that was just taking its modern shape. As Reed's memoir circles back again and again to Rochester, New York, we are especially intrigued to consider him alongside another African-American writer who has been central to our own scholarship on the tradition. Frederick Douglass escaped from slavery in the South, and in time, took up residence in Reed's home city. In a trilogy of autobiographical works, Douglass offered some of the most memorable castigations of American slavery ever written. "Such is the constitution of the human mind," he wrote in 1855, "that when pressed to extremes, it often avails itself of the most opposite methods. Extremes meet in mind as in matter." Looking back on his experience as a slave child on a Maryland plantation, Douglass remembered a world of stark opposites, all but unalterable extremes he had to learn to navigate and survive. The plantation south of his childhood was a place of beauty and evil, of decadence and production, both his playground and his prison. Douglass's rendering of slavery is full of prison metaphors. As he became more aware of his predicament, he tried desperately to protect his body from destruction and to preserve his mind from disintegration. Douglass famously told the story of his rise from bondage into freedom. Reed's story moves in the opposite direction, describing his fall from a tenuous liberty into the isolation and torment of incarceration. In this way, The Life and the Adventures of a Haunted Convict provokes us to reconsider 19th-century African-American literature, and indeed, the long arc of American history. Reading Austin Reed in the 21st century, we see how the formal abolition of Southern slavery may not have secured the liberty that Douglass risked everything to obtain for himself and many thousands more. Even before the Civil War, the free North was already building the penal system that now imprisons nearly a million African Americans. A century and a half after emancipation, one in three black men will spend time under confinement in America's prisons and jails. Reed came of age inside some of the earliest institutions of penal captivity, and he had his own ideas about freedom, which seemed always to be receding beyond his grasp. In the meantime, he did his best to hold on to the elements of a life, physical safety, a basic education, and a sense of belonging. Two of Douglass's insights have special resonance as we study Reed's pages. First, thinking in part about his own childhood, Douglas declares that all slaves are orphans. Douglas never knew the true identity of his father, although it was likely one of his first two owners. And after the age of 6, he never again saw his mother, Harriet Bailey. Douglas spent much of his life trying to establish a durable identity and a sustainable set of relationships. Reed's history of incarceration, too, is a story about being orphaned from his home and his race. We note that Reed begins not at the house of refuge, but rather at the deathbed of his father, who is gasping his last breaths and giving his last fatherly advice. From this passage forward, the memoir tells of Reed's search for family. Revealingly, Reed almost always capitalizes the word home. Reed introduces us to a number of men who have been paternal figures or reminded him of his own father. One is Nathaniel Hart, or Mr. Hart, a superintendent of the House of Refuge, whose farewell address is praised by Reed because it offers the very parting words of my beloved father. Hart is replaced by Samuel S. Wood, who arranges for Reed's education in reading and writing. Later in the memoir, Reed recites a poem he learned thanks to Mr. Wood. Quite significantly, it is an anti-slavery poem. Mr. Wood, the man most responsible for Reed's literacy in his early years, is the abolitionist father figure in the memoir. At one point, Reed temporarily escapes from the reformatory, and he is taken into the home of a Mr. McCullough, the father of another refuge boy. When the authorities come for Reed, McCullough confronts them. Reed is captured and reincarcerated in the end, but for an unforgettable moment, McCullough becomes a protective father figure, a man standing up for Reed and against the reformatory. Reed remembers Hart, Wood, and McCullough with fondness, for he had not always been treated so kindly by the men who had custody of him. Indeed, he had suffered many of the hardships that modern readers might associate with slavery. His first crime, we learn, is an act of vengeance, prompted by the indignity of being tied up like a slave and whipped. Many more whippings will occur in Reed's future, including the especially brutal beating he receives from Mr. Terry, the Presbyterian minister who takes over the House of Refuge after Samuel Wood's departure. With the Reverend Mr. Terry, we are reminded of those moments in slave narratives when men of the cloth are depicted as particularly harsh, even vicious slaveholders. As it turns out, the House of Refuge is hardly a refuge. Like the names of the slave ships that Robert Hayden invokes in his poem Middle Passage, names like Mercy, Adventure, and Amistad, House of Refuge is a bright, ironical name. All of the father figures Reed mentions are white men. His mother is apparently alive in Rochester, but the women who take young Reed in and feed him are the Irish mothers of New York. Mrs. Flynn stands out in that regard. She is the mother of Mike Flynn, who joins Reed and Jack Kimball in Reed's first attempt to escape the House of Refuge. Mike and Jack are Reed's tutors as well as his accomplices in the escape. Arguably, they become the brothers in his life after Reed's family is, for him, demolished. When Reed is jailed with a young Scotch girl from Canada, Fanny Miller, he finds a sister in the world of incarceration. The two young inmates read together, and Reed sings for Fanny, noting that he used to sing the same song with his own sister. These orphans are in search of love and friendship they can convert into notions of home. During his early years at Auburn State Prison, there comes a day when Reed breaks the rule against inmates sharing food with each other. He is caught and whipped. But the punishment doesn't stop there. He is dragged off to the prison's dungeon and put in stocks. What date does Reed remember that horrible day to be? The 4th of July. And here we see a second connection to Douglas, a shared critique of the promises of American liberty and justice. In his great speech of 1852, Douglas asked, "What to the slave is the 4th of July?" What the occasion demanded, said Douglas, was Scorch.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?